2 Samuel, and we're going to pick up, I'll read from verse 18, but we're only going to look at one verse, really. I do want to do my traditional prayer for us. Let me pray for us. Father, again, we thank you that you've gathered us here together this morning. We're so thankful to be in your presence and to have an opportunity to let your word transform us. And so that we ask that your word would speak to us deeply here this morning and transform us in every way. We bind any spirit that would cause a distraction in the name of Jesus. Amen. We bind any spirit that would cause doubt in the name of Jesus. Amen. We bind any spirit that would cause confusion in the name of Jesus. Amen. We bind any spirit that would cause people to feel inferior in the name of Jesus. And we invite the Holy Spirit to come and to speak and to move and to have your way in this place. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, even this is going to be a different message. I know you've already had one message. Now this is going to be part two or second message for the day, and this is going to be different, a little bit different than what I normally do. But the Lord has been, it's funny, I was planning on doing this message this week anyway. And then this week, the Lord just spoke to Amy and I a lot about worship. And going deeper in places of worship and becoming a greater worshiping community. And so this is going to lend itself well to that as well. I want to talk about how we prepare for worship. How do we get the most out of a Sunday morning worship service? You see, the kingdom of God is either worth everything or it's worth nothing. The kingdom of God is either worth everything or it's worth nothing. You can't find a bargain in the kingdom, right? This isn't like Kmart. There's no flashing blue light special in somewhere in the kingdom. Like, oh, I found an easy path to the kingdom today. When it comes to worship, there's no easy path or free path. The salvation and the victory that Jesus bought for us is free, but it's not available without cost. Our response to him cannot be cheap or easy. So I want to look at this passage in 2 Samuel as we consider how do we prepare for worship. Verse 18, on that day, Gad went to David. Gad's a prophet. Gad went to David and said to him, go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arnuah the Jezebite. So David went up as the Lord had commanded through Gad. When Arnuah looked and saw the king and his men coming toward him, he went out, bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. Arnuah said, why has the Lord the king come to his servant? To buy your threshing floor, David answered, so I can build an altar to the Lord that the plague on the people might be stopped. Arnuah said to David, let the Lord the king take whatever pleases him and offer it up. Here are the oxen for the burnt offering, and here are the threshing sledges and the yokes for the wood. O King Arnuah gives all this to the king. Arnuah also said to him, may the Lord your God accept you. But the king replied to Arnuah, no, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen and paid 50 shekels of silver for them. David built an altar to the Lord there and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then the Lord answered prayer in behalf of the land, and the plague on Israel was stopped. Well, this story starts earlier in the chapter where David sins against the Lord by taking a census of his army. He wasn't supposed to do that. He was supposed to trust the Lord, but he goes and he counts his fighting men. Then the Lord speaks through the prophet and sends David three options for judgment. I love that. I love the flexibility of God. Hey, look, you want me to punish you this way, this way, or this way? But then we see this scene of worship. And I think that this can give us a few pointers on how we prepare and get ready for worship. So I want to look real quickly, what are the things that we see in this passage? And then how can we use those to help us? Well, the first thing that we see is repentance. The scene starts because David has sinned against the Lord. The entire worship scene that we see here is an act of repentance. Then we see costliness. David had to buy with silver the items needed. He also had to give his time to make the sacrifice. because David understood that offering a sacrifice that cost him nothing was worth nothing. Then there's the sacrifice itself. We see the sacrifice of an animal. But David also had to sacrifice his heart and his time for it to be a sacrifice pleasing to the Lord. Then there's preparation. He had to prepare. He had to build the altar. We gloss over this as he went up and he built an altar. That means that he had to gather stones and then carefully build up a stone altar. That took time. Then he had to gather wood, chop the wood, and build a fire. Then he had to butcher the ox. He had to cut the animal up. That took time. Kind of a bloody mess, too, probably. So there was a preparation. We also see honor. He did not disrespect or take advantage of his servant Arnua. He could have. As king, he could have rightly demanded whatever he wanted from Arnua, and Arnua would have been right to give it to him. But he didn't. For the sacrifice to be acceptable, he had to honor Arnua. For the sacrifice to be acceptable, he had to honor the Lord and do it properly. Then we see prayer. It says that the plague stopped in answer to prayer. This prayer was, of course, within the context of all of these things, repentance and sacrificial worship, etc. So now I'm going to go through each of these again and then see how we can grow. How we can grow in our preparation for worship and the worship experience itself. As I talk about these things, I'm talking about things that you can start to do Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday before, after you get here to the building, to church. In some of these areas, you may already be doing well, but others of them, you may have room to grow. And as we look at each of these areas again, I want you to keep a few things in mind. We don't do any of these out of a sense of legalism. We don't earn our way into something simply because we do these things. We also don't do any of these things to bring attention to ourselves. Oh, look how spiritual I am. We do this because we want the best possible experience of God during worship. Here's a really sobering thing I want you to keep in mind. And you may push back on me for this, but you'll lose. Coming to the worship service on Sunday morning is the single most important thing you will do all week. Amen. There is nothing that is even a close second. Your work is not a close second. Gathering together with the people of God for corporate worship is the single most important thing you will do all week. So why not prepare accordingly? Oh, but what a spending time with my family and my children. That's more important. Where did your family and children come from? Where were your family and children end up if they don't see you in corporate worship? This is the single most important thing you will do all week. And yet I'm willing to guess you put the least amount of preparation into it. Not just in this church, but in the church in general. A common complaint is, yeah, you know, I just don't get much out of the church worship service experience. And without exception, when I hear that comment, I can tell you for a fact that there's no preparation in their life. You don't get much out of it because you're not putting anything into it. So let's see what we can learn from this passage. Again, the first thing we saw was repentance. This whole scene is because David is repenting of his sin. So, of course, sin can be a barrier between us and the Lord, between us and a good worship experience. Matthew 5:23, Jesus says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar," so you're talking about a scene of worship because you're at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come back and offer your gift. So Jesus is telling us that if we have something against a brother, it's a barrier. Now, of course, our sin doesn't just have to be against a brother, but it can be a sin just even before the Lord. We can sin before the Lord and not necessarily sin against a brother or sister. And we can't wait until we have communion to really become aware of repenting of our sins. So as you prepare for worship, whether it's Saturday night or Sunday morning, examine your heart. Repent before the Lord from anything that you need to repent of, so that you can come into your worship experience clean before the Lord. And certainly if your brother or sister has something against you, you go take care of that. Because that also not only helps you come before the Lord clean, but it helps them come before the Lord clean. So begin to think about how a simple practice of repentance could enhance your worship experience. Again, it could be Saturday night, it could be Sunday morning. Just sitting before the Lord and say, Lord, what are the things I've done that have grieved you? And he doesn't condemn you for any of that. He just wants to take his eraser and just erase that and just get rid of it. So then you just confess it. Lord, I'm sorry that I got angry at so-and-so yesterday. Lord, just forgive me. I repent of that. Whatever it might be, just take a moment and just repent before the Lord. Costliness. Worship cannot be cheap or easy, or it's not worship. Jesus is worth more than cheap and easy. There must be a deliberate costliness to our worship. If you come to worship and you go home and it cost you nothing, was it worship? And I'm talking, of course, about more than just money. Although money's a part of it. This whole process of preparation that I'm talking about can be seen as part of this costliness. I want to give you just a few practical ideas of what costliness might look like. As you think about the issue of money or your tithe, we seem to be easily afflicted with spiritual amnesia. Oh, I seem to have forgot to have made my tithe for the last 7 months or less. Prepare your tithe ahead of time. As part of your preparation, on Saturday night, get your tithe ready. Write out the check or put the money in an envelope. You're welcome to take some envelopes home. But prepare your tithe ahead of time and then pray over it. Lord, I bless this money. I offer it as my costly sacrifice. But Lord, I pray that this money would be used for the advancement of your kingdom. Several months ago, the accounting team and the elders and I have made a deliberate practice of praying over the offering after the service. Before we open that box to count it, we pray over it. But pray over your own offering at home. But make the offering something that you do in preparation of worship. Don't leave it to chance, and don't leave it to the last minute. Yeah?
Can I also point out that there's electronic, too? I know Bree does, like... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you go to our website and you hit the donate button, it takes you to an app called Tithely. And the cool thing about Tithely, why we decided to go with that, is because you can set it up to be automatic, which is great to fight against the spiritual amnesia, but at the same time, I want you to still understand that it's a part of your worship. And so even spend a moment, while the computer may do it all for you, make sure that you take the time to reflect on the fact that you're making this sacrifice, you're making this offering. Thank you, Jennifer. The next thing, think about your time. We're talking about preparation in terms of costliness. Time that you think you don't have. In our day and age, time is synonymous with money. We've all heard the expression, time is money. When you're in business, time is money. But how can you have a costliness to your preparation for worship in reflection of time? I'm dumbfounded when people say, yeah, I'm just too busy. I don't have time to come to church. Well, then you're busier than God. Because he's here. I don't understand. I can't even get my mind around. I'm too busy to come to worship. I'm thinking you need to slow down. And so as you think about preparing for worship, how can you make a sacrifice, a costliness of time? Carving out time from your busy life to be with the Lord. How about service to the church, to your church family? Part of worship is how we serve each other and we serve our church family. There's a costliness to this. You can serve during the worship service. You can serve before. You can serve after. You can come in the middle of the week and clean toilets. There's lots of ways that you can serve as part of your act of worship. But if you simply pop in on a Sunday and go home and there was no service, you've missed a portion, a depth of what it is to be a worshiping community. Let's move on to sacrifice. Again, David had to sacrifice an animal to stop the plague. Well, in our day, Jesus is the sacrifice. We don't need to sacrifice animals. But there still needs to be a sacrifice on our part. A sacrifice of the heart, a sacrifice of our desires and our will. Here's something to keep in mind. In all of Scripture, worship is never referred to as a sacrifice. But praise and thanksgiving are usually referred to as a sacrifice. We give sacrifice to the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. As you come to worship, what can you praise Him for? What can you give thanksgiving for, even when your circumstances are telling you something else? Your circumstances might be horrible, but what can you give as a sacrifice of praise? What can you give as a sacrifice of thanksgiving in the midst of circumstances that might be terrible? In the act of worship, I'm giving myself. Worship is giving myself. But praise and thanksgiving are costly sacrifices, especially in the face of great difficulty. It's easy for us to get to the place of saying, well, I don't feel like it. True, we may not feel like it, but the costly part of the sacrifice is to give thanks in the face of our feelings. This kind of costliness is what honors the Lord, and then He pours into that. You see, when I simply say, I don't feel like it, then Jesus looks at it, looks at us and goes, well, you just tied my hands. But if in that moment of not feeling like it, we lift up a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, now Jesus says, I can work with that. Also, as we think about sacrifice and preparation, don't let Sunday be the only time you worship. Worship here goes deeper when you have times of worship at home. We live in the day and age, you know, it's so funny, you think back just 20, 30 years ago, at best you might have had a scratchy cassette tape. But now you've got the internet with 6 trillion worship songs. Worship at home. So that you're honoring the Lord there, and then when you come here and you do it together with your family, it goes even deeper. How about a fast? As part of your sacrifice for preparing for worship, try fasting. I end my weeks with a 40-hour fast. I'll be honest, this week I cheated and I only made it to 38 hours. But I end my week starting Thursday night all the way through to Saturday noon. I fast for 40 hours in preparation of this. In part, in terms of costliness for preparing for worship, how's this for a kicker? Slow down. Dallas Willard, famous, well-known, well-respected Christian author. Toward the end of his life, he only had one expression. Many, many, many famous people would seek out Dallas Willard for his advice, and he always gave them the same phrase, the same expression. He never said anything else till the end of his life. He would say this: to be spiritually healthy, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. Here's an old man that spent his whole life writing and seeking the kingdom of God, and he came down to that one conclusion. To be spiritually healthy, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. But the culture that we live in says you get to wear busyness as a badge of honor. We say that with pride all the time. I'm so busy. I don't have time for God. I don't have time for my church family. I'm just so busy. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. If you come to church after a frantic and hurried morning, you will not have your best possible worship experience. How can we begin as a costly sacrifice in preparation from worship to ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives? The next characteristic we saw was preparation. David had to build an altar to make a fire and cut up the animal. There are other deliberate acts of preparation that we can do as well. Again, as I mentioned earlier, coming to worship will be the most important thing you do all week. And so how can we prepare proportionally? This one may rub people the wrong way, and I'm going to give a big grace caveat here. I realize some people have to work Saturday nights. How about going to bed early on Saturday night? If the worship experience is the most important thing you're going to do all week, and being well rested and refreshed here, go to bed early on Saturday night. I 100% guarantee you I am in bed by 9:30 on a Saturday night. Now I realize, again, I know that there's people in this congregation that have to work Saturday nights. I get that. If it's possible. Getting up early Sunday. I know everyone's like, oh, Sunday's my only day to sleep in. But this is your only day to worship with the Lord in fellowship with other brothers and sisters, which is the most important thing you'll do all week. Get up early. My friend Ed Lochran gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning every Sunday to go over to his church building and pray in the building for hours before anyone else gets there. Arrive here early. If this is the most important thing that you do all week, why would you come late? I see it all the time, and I'm not shaming or putting down anybody. I see people dashing in the door, all frantic and hurried at the last minute or 5 minutes or 10 minutes late. You won't have the best possible worship experience. If it's the most important thing you do all week, then arrive early. Come early and pray. Come early and just enjoy the worship team practicing. Coming early will enhance the depth of your worship experience. Pick out your clothes Saturday night. I do that. On Saturday night, I pick out what I'm going to wear Sunday morning. Especially in the winter when it's still dark and you're getting up, you know. I have what I'm going to wear picked out. This is the most important thing you're going to do all week. Figure out what you're going to wear. Have it ready to go. Get your Bible ready. Hopefully you know where it is. But we read from our Bibles every Sunday. So have your Bible ready. Put it with your car keys. Have it ready to go. So in the morning you're not running all over the house. Where's my Bible? Where's my Bible? Now, still on this idea of how do we prepare? Preparation. Getting ready for worship. Remember, you're preparing for a battle. In Ephesians 6:12, Paul says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Paul goes on after that verse to tell us how to put on our spiritual armor. Preparing for worship is putting on spiritual armor. Because the enemy will fight against us having the most of our worship experience. Even right now, some of you have thoughts in your head that if they came out loud, you'd be ashamed of them. Preparing for worship is preparing for battle. You prepare for battle by putting on your spiritual armor. We have to be properly prepared both for worship and for the battle. I'm always amazed at how many times people send me a text message on Sunday morning. I'm suddenly sick. I won't be at church. But they were fine on Saturday. That's spiritual warfare, and that can be stopped. But it starts on Thursday. As you prepare for worship, the devil knows that this is the most important thing you do all week. The devil knows that. And so he is doing everything he can from not only preventing you from coming, but from preventing you from having the best possible experience. We need to come to the same level of understanding that this is the most important thing we do all week that the devil has, so we can prepare accordingly and prepare for the battle, putting on our spiritual armor so that we're not suddenly sick Sunday morning or all of the other things that happen to us on a Sunday morning. All right, honor. David had to honor his servant Arnuah. He couldn't just come and take the land. And the oxen. He could have, as king, he could have. But he didn't. We have to honor the Lord and each other with our actions and our words. As you prepare to come to church on Sunday morning, do you honor your family? It's tied to the battle. How many times do I hear people say they had an argument at home before they came to church on Sunday? Well, you prepare for the battle, but then you honor. Did you honor people on the road as you drive here? Thank goodness I only have a block to drive here. I live right behind the church. But as you drove here, did you honor the other people on the road? Did you honor others as you were entering the building? Do you honor the house of the Lord? I see this one a lot. People treat this building with contempt. I see it all the time. They treat this building with contempt. Every single thing in here, including the carpet, is sacred because it's the house of the Lord. And His presence shows up in here. Do we treat this place with honor? Do you honor, as you come into the building, do you honor the people who are already here? Think about it. You're entering the church building. There's already people in here. As you walk in, who are you honoring? Are you a distraction to what's already happening? Are you honoring yourself, or are you honoring the presence of the Lord and what others are doing? As you come in, do you honor the worship team as they're practicing? Do you honor the people who are gathered for prayer? We're talking about a sacred assembly. We're talking about a sacrifice of praise to the one true living God that can transform entire communities. When we enter the building, do we have that sense of awareness and honor for what's about to take place? And then finally, the last thing we saw was prayer. It says that the plague ended in answer to prayer. Praying as preparation for worship has to start on at least Thursday. By the way, we still have prayer Thursday at noon. Partly because of this. You begin to pray for the worship service on Thursday. You pray for yourself. You pray for your church family. You pray for yourself. Lord, I pray that I would be in the best possible position this Sunday. Protect me. Guard my heart. Help me to make other sacrifices. Help me to prepare. Help me to pay the price. Show me what it is that I need to do this week to prepare. Then you pray for your church family. Lord, I pray that the rest of my family would gather, that we would be there in strength and number this Sunday. Lord, I pray that you would keep the church healthy. Lord, I pray that you would protect the church family from every way the enemy might try to come against us and scheme against us to stop what we're doing. You start on Thursday praying that way. Pray for me. Lord, I pray for Pastor Tim, Lord, that he would have a great time as he finishes his preparations for the sermon, for the service, Lord. Protect him. Give him rest. Give him sleep, Lord. Protect any attack that the enemy would have coming against him. Pray for Amy and the worship team. Lord, I pray that your anointing would fall on them and that they would lead us to a place of worship and a depth of worship we have never seen or experienced before. Lord, protect them and pour into their hearts. You start praying this way on Thursday. And then come at 9:45 on Sunday. Yes, God has already turned on the lights. It'll be okay. Come at 9:45 and gather and pray with us in the building. It's the most important thing you'll do all week. Nothing else is even a distant second. Now, one last thing that I want to talk about. Becoming aware of God's presence. We just did that exercise a minute ago with laying down our anxiousness before we come into a time of prayer. But as you come into the sanctuary on any Sunday morning, become aware of his presence. And at the same time, become aware of the other things that are vying for your attention. Think about, what am I most aware of as you walk in the door? Your frustration? Just even the frustration getting here. Am I aware of my frustration? Am I aware of the temperature in the room? Oh, it's a little chilly in here today, or it's kind of hot in here today. Are you most aware of the distractions? Well, that's that over there, whatever's going on over there, that's really a distraction to me. Are you aware of your sleepiness? Oh, I'm so tired. Are you aware of others in the space? Boy, so-and-so has got a lot of perfume on today. Well, I really like what she has on. That's pretty. As you enter the worship space, you've been preparing now since Thursday, and you enter this place, slow down, breathe deep. Invite the presence. And then wait until you become aware of his presence. And this before the service begins. I'm always amazed. Amy and the team will begin to lead worship. And it usually takes two songs before the congregation engages. Don't let the people up front carry the whole load of worship. This is not a spectator sport. Become aware of his presence so that as Amy and the team begin, you're already there. Don't make them go through two songs before you're just starting to become aware of his presence. Then as worship begins, think again about the costliness of your worship. Oftentimes, costliness involves a physical posture. Kneel down, lie down, dance, raise your hands, shout, praise, amen. This is all part of the sacrifice. I was listening to a Bill Johnson message recently, and it was so funny. He talked about how when he gets stuck, when he's in a real down place, and he knows that he has to come into a time of praise and thanksgiving and worship with a physical expression. He goes, I used to dance, or I would jump. He goes, but now at my age, all I can hope for is a little hop. Well, hop. but bring into it a physical posture, a physical expression of worship. Going forward from this Sunday on, we're going to change some things. Because we must master this. We must press into being a worshiping community. And so from now on, exactly at 10:30, I'm going to start the service. And I'm going to start it with a 5-minute teaching on worship. So my expectation is you'll be in your seat at 10:30 already aware of His presence. So that as I start with a 5-minute teaching on worship, we're engaged as a community. Then I'll turn it over to the team. And eventually, after I've modeled this for a while, the team will do it. But we've got to master what it is to be a worshiping community. Amen? You guys still like me? All right. Let's do an exercise right now, even before they come back up. It's going to be just like the one we did last time. Right now, I just want you to close your eyes and what are you most aware of? Are you most aware of that it's almost lunchtime? Are you most aware of that it's a little chilly in here? Now I want you to shift. Begin to look again at the cross with Jesus. Oh boy, I feel a third message coming on. Begin to just look into Jesus' eyes. Just say, come Holy Spirit. Remember, the Father provides. Jesus acts. Holy Spirit delivers. The Father provides everything. Jesus acts upon the delivery, and the Holy Spirit brings it to us. Become aware of the Holy Spirit's presence. Turn your minds and your thoughts from the things that are distraction. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul, the inner part of my being, will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Are you afflicted today? Hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Become aware of His presence. Invite Holy Spirit. Begin to just thank Him for being present. Thank Him for His goodness. Whatever your circumstances are, He is good and perfect and true in everything He does. Nothing escapes His notice. Nothing is beyond His sovereignty. He's never late. He's never early. Become aware of His all-caring and gracious presence around you right now. Just say it even out loud. Come, Holy Spirit. Make me more and more aware of Your presence. When I become acutely aware of His presence, my body begins to twitch. Focus on Jesus. Focus on His Holy Spirit. I see Him resting on some of you quite gloriously already. Become aware of His presence. Jesus, we worship you not out of legalism, but because you're worthy, so worthy. Well, the devil has clouded our vision, and we lose sight sometimes of how worthy you are. Our circumstances, our pain, our trials, our temptations, our struggles become so great and so burdening on us that we lose sight of how great you are. Jesus, in this moment, will you lift the veil? Will you lift the blinders that the devil has put on all of us that prevents us from seeing your glory and your perfect nature? Lord, we want to become a worshiping community, and we want to learn how to prepare because we love you. No other reason. We love you, and we know that our soul, our inner being, longs for you more than anything else. We have been deceived by lesser things. Jesus, give us the strength and the courage to become a worshiping community that knows how to prepare and sacrifice so that we can have the fullness of you in us. That's my only desire. My only desire is to have the fullness of him in me, and the fullness of him in each of you. Holy Spirit, more. Make us more aware of your presence. Give us glimpses into heaven. Give us glimpses into your realm, the way you see things. Now, let's stand and worship as a prepared people.